Hey everyone, I want to take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So this is, in the Christian tradition, this is called the Feast of Dedication. Sometimes in England, they call it Candlemas because of the tradition of taking candles from the church on that day to homes. But at any rate, it celebrates the purification of Jesus after his birth. And there's a few things to note about this. One is all throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus was very submissive to the law. He's never opposed to the law. He's opposed to wrong interpretations of the law. And he came, very specifically, he notes, to fulfill the law. And we see that even his mother and his father were scrupulous to follow what the law stipulated. In this case, that after a woman's birth, 40 days, she had to go and be purified in the temple, her and the child. Joseph went as well. It may be that Joseph was the one who delivered Jesus, so he would have been included in the need for purification because he was involved in that process. But at any rate, again, it underscores the point that Jesus came to fulfill the law. He was born in the fullness of time under the law, to fulfill the law for us, and of course, as Paul later says, to give us the Holy Spirit so that we could fulfill the law. But again, that filling of the law is not the letter of the Old Testament law, but everything that the Old Testament law was pointing to. Again, the law is not something that was bad that we now get rid of in the sense of it's not important. It's something that was giving us a sketch of the kind of life that God wanted us to live that's now empowered through the gospel of Jesus. I love these two figures, Simeon and Anna. These two old figures who clearly all their lives, maybe for a long time, in the case of Anna, clearly a long time, have been patiently waiting for what God was going to do next. And keep in mind, depending on how you do your counting, maybe 400 years have gone by without a lot of obvious activity. And so these are very faithful people. They're models of trust in God and seeking God and waiting on him. And of course, Simeon, he almost seems like a New Testament figure, a post-Pentecost figure ahead of time because he's in the Spirit and the Spirit has told him he's not going to die before he sees the Christ. He gives this blessing, which is a curious blessing because the main content of it seems to be about the fact that this child will be a sign of contradiction, that he will be a stumbling block, that he will be a lightning rod, a polarizing force. People are not going to respond to him. Well, they're going to respond to him in one of two ways, in confidence and trust in his message or in rejection. And indeed, he says that a sword will pierce your own heart. And this sword seems to be the sword for everyone. He says he is appointed for the falling of and rising of many in Israel. And I think that order is significant. Falling may be in judgment, may be in condemnation of sin, but rising, it's a prefiguration of the resurrection, right? Jesus comes to declare the death, the circumstances of human life and rebellion from God, and invite into new life. And so it is a hopeful message, but it's a message that requires, as it were, going down into conviction and recognition of sin before rising into repentance and new life. Of course, Simeon's prayer here, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, is the fourth little poem or song or psalm or hymn that we see in the beginning of Luke, all of which have made it into Christian liturgy over the years. This one famously is the Nunc Dimittis, the now let your servant depart in peace. And then we get this figure of Anna, and she's so many things at once, Old Testament figures. Obviously, her name is resonant with Hannah from 1 Samuel, and Luke is clearly telling us that the stories of Samuel and David are prefiguring the story of Jesus. Her name means grace. It says she's from the tribe, or she's from the family of Phanuel. This looks an awful lot like the word Peniel, which comes from Genesis, where Jacob wrestled with God, and the place that he wrestled with God was called Peniel. And maybe that is a deliberate reference because she is clearly a woman of prayer, a woman who has wrestled trying to figure out the will of God over years of silence. She's from the tribe of Asher, which is the Old Testament word for happy or blessed. In other words, Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, it's Ashrei. And so she's, again, a blessed figure. And we see her fasting and in prayer since the time of her widowhood. I think she's all kinds of things. I think she's was a real historic woman, but I think she also sort of figures or represents Israel in her widowhood and her barrenness, waiting for redemption. We see her fasting and in prayer at the temple. Well, this is exactly what the church does in the book of Acts, so she kind of prefigures the church. And in many ways, we can see that the coming of the Messiah is the answer to her prayers, much like the coming or the birth of Samuel was the answer to Hannah's prayer in the Old Testament. I think both Simeon and Anna figure the church in her proclamation. They're sort of, if think of it this way, Old Testament figures in a way, or transitional figures who give us a model of what the church ought to be. And they give us a model in several ways. Notice what they do. They're proclaiming to everyone around who Jesus is. And that's the focus of their lives. Second, this is not about them. You know, his whole life has been to wait to see the figure who was promised by God and then to die. Her whole life has been lived in widowhood. So it's clear that they are caught up in a much larger story and are happy to be, as it were, bit players, small parts in that. And finally, they're full of joy. The church's proclamation of who Jesus is should be full of joy. Clearly, as Simeon says, he's a sign of contradiction. People will respond to him vehemently in different ways. But nonetheless, we should be joyful in our proclamation of him, recognizing that it's not about us, but it's about the joyous promise and the joyous news of what God has done in Jesus and is continuing to do to set the world right. So may we be, with the people of God, faithful and joyous proclaimers of this message that Jesus is Lord and we're the servants of those to whom we proclaim. Amen.